The Redeemed Life Radio broadcast is a ministry of Redeemed Church, now meeting at Groove Nation Performing Arts Center, 3000 Columbia House Boulevard in Vancouver, Washington. Come experience Redeemed Church live this Sunday at 10:30.
Give thanks to God, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those He has gathered from every land. We testify to the work of His hand.
Hi, I'm Steve Livengood. My wife Shelley and I welcome you to the Redeemed Life Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Redeemed Church in Vancouver, Washington. The purpose of this radio broadcast is to bless you and build you up in your faith in Jesus. Now let's get right into this week's message. Well, today we're going to be concluding our series on Jesus is coming soon for now. Amen. God's got more things for us. I believe next week we're going to start in on the blood covenant, covenants of God. Amen. Do you know you have a covenant-keeping God, a God who keeps His promises? Amen. And this year, the Lord put it on my heart to call this a year of the joy of the Lord, of patience and perseverance. Don't you know our Heavenly Father is a God of patience and perseverance? Amen. I know that because He still loves me. Amen. And so He is a God of great patience, and His covenant is what keeps Him going every day. Amen. His love for you, but He is a God that keeps His promises. Amen. And so we're going to look at the blood covenant. I saw a church billboard the other day. It was kind of humorous. It said, "No fooling. Easter's April 1st. So Easter's coming up in just a few weeks already. Amen. And so we're going to talk about the blood of Jesus and what the blood means to you and to me, why He did what He did. And I'm really looking forward to hearing what Jesus has to say about these things. Amen. But did you know Jesus is coming soon? This is something that should keep us going every day, keep us excited, keep us enthusiastic about being saved, keep us interested in living for God every day. Why? Why should I live for God? Because He may come today. Amen? And I am so excited about today's message specifically. I honestly just want to go right to Leviticus 23, but I have to wait. And it sounds like a boring Bible chapter, but He showed me some things in that this week that I kind of heard some things about, but He showed me it in a new way. And I've been listening to Him share these things with me all this week. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. But our foundation text is Romans 15, 13. Now may the God of hope, somebody say the God of hope. Amen. If He's the God of hope, what is every other God the God of? Hopelessness. Amen. And that's the difference between a believer in Jesus and anyone else who believes in any other God. Is one of the major things is we have this thing called hope, right? There's a beautiful, I remember Disneyland I've been to several times. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow. Amen. And it's only going to get better and better and bigger and more blessed and more whole and healthy and more prosperous and more holy, and more like Jesus. Did you know we're supposed to be becoming more and more like God every day? Did you know we're getting closer to the Lord every day? Amen. Is anybody chilly in here? We doing okay? All right, because we might need to bump it up to 69, Richard. Whatever it is, yeah. It just Oh, okay. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just chilling up here. Amen. No, I'm good. If you guys are good, I'm good. Amen. But we're becoming more and more like the Lord. It's cool, Richard. Literally cool. We're doing good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad Jesus isn't becoming more and more like you? Amen. What good would that be, right, if He was becoming more and more like me? No, I'm called to become more and more like Him. Amen. He's the God of hope, and it says here in the verse, now may the God of hope, Romans 15, 13, fill you with all joy. Somebody say joy, right? And peace in believing. These are the things that will keep us strong every single day. Amen. that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Abounding, Shelley was talking about abounding financially and abounding spiritually. Don't you know we serve an abounding God? When we get to heaven, we're going to talk about heaven today. And when we get there, we have an abounding God. I mean, the streets are paved with gold, right? If CNN could get their, or CNBC or any of these news stations could get their cameras into heaven, God would be the next one that they're accusing. Amen. God lives in a sea of wealth, and yet children are starving. Well, guess what? That's not God's fault. Amen. And yet there are storms, and people are dying. Not God's fault. That's called the curse. That's called the devil. Amen. So we have a wonderful God, and guess what? You're called to be more like him. So if he's abounding, what am I called to do? Abound. Like father, like son, like father, like daughter. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, did you know, if you're saved today, this is the key thing. Are you saved? Is Jesus Lord of your life? Did you know heaven's not for everybody? Amen. Heaven is not for everybody. Heaven is only for the born again. Only for people who made Jesus Christ Lord of their life. Amen? Heaven isn't just for one particular race. You know, God doesn't just ictionay entire nations out of heaven. No, it's about one person receiving Jesus, one-to-one. Amen? This is why the devil has tried to shut the gospel down since day one. Let's just kill the Christians. Guess what? You're not going to kill the Holy Spirit. No matter how many Christians you kill, no matter how persecuted the devil tries to make it, how he tries to shut the Bible down out of countries, the Holy Ghost is on the loose. We just breathed him in this morning, amen? He is on the loose, and you ain't stopping the Holy Ghost. Guess what? Healing and speaking in tongues and miracles and prosperity did not die with the apostles because the Holy Ghost did not die with the apostles. Amen. Glory. Somebody say it's for me. Amen. And it's on the loose, and I can receive it today, amen? So we're talking about this place called heaven. But you have to be saved to get there. You have to be born again to get there. Yes, we have a God of mercy, right? But he made a way to get there. Amen. And the only way to get there, what's his name? Jesus. Jesus is the only way. He's the only way to true peace. Amen. The only way to true unity and true oneness. All the rest of it is lies and darkness and cover-up and masquerading, amen, and dishonesty and racism and hatred, right? Anything outside of Jesus is just flat a lie, amen. Praise the Lord. So if anyone cares to make heaven their home, well, why would I care to make heaven my home? Well, we're going to talk about that. We're going to see what the Bible has to say about that, amen. Let's start with looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 30. Amen. Somebody say, heaven is my dwelling place. It will be your dwelling place forever and ever if Jesus is Lord of your life. That's your home. It's not just a place, it's your home. Somebody say, it's my home. Yeah, our eternal home, the place that we dwell. If you're saved, if you're born again. If maybe somebody's listening to this message days down the line and you're not saved and you're not born again, well, here's some good reasons to get saved and get born again. Because people spend eternity, which is a very long time, eternity, in one of two places, heaven or hell, up or down, nice or terrible, beautiful or awful. Amen. We are spirit beings. Every human being is a spirit. We have a soul, and we live in a body. Amen. And so there's no more somber, serious issue than to make this. There's no more greater decision anyone could make than to decide where they're going to spend eternity. You see all these commercials that they spend millions of dollars on talking about retirement. Wouldn't it be cool to see a commercial that talks about what happens after retirement? Amen. Where are you going to spend eternity? Right? Amen. A place called heaven or a place called hell. Now, hell wasn't built for humans, wasn't designed for people. It was made for the devil and his angels. Amen. Wasn't designed for people, but people go there by choosing to go there. God doesn't send people to hell. They choose. People choose to go to hell by rejecting the antidote of sin. I need to get here, okay? The rest of the stuff you can look at on your own. But look at Leviticus 23, okay? Because there is, Jesus said, I will come again and get you and take you to myself. And that, of course, could be through the grave. Hallelujah. Or it's time to go on to be with Jesus in heaven. But this is amazing what the Lord showed me. And you might have heard some of this stuff. I've heard here and there. But man, he showed me just clear as day this week. The Feasts of Israel. Leviticus chapter 23. Glory to God. Don't you know that things are in our Bible on purpose, right? We have a God, our God is precise, he's exact. Amen. He makes no mistakes. Glory to God. And all this chapter right here is all about the Feasts of Israel. But the Lord showed me this week and revealed some things to me that these feasts all signify events in this world. Amen. You might have heard some of this, but he showed me some things that was like, wow, okay. Wow. Somebody say wow, right? The creation, the Sabbath day. Look at verse 3 there. For 6 days work shall be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of complete rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. How many days did it take God to create the heavens and the earth? 6 days, right? Now, I was listening to Charles Capps on some of this. The signification here is this is a look at world history. This is really God's calendar here, okay? 6 days. Each day represents 1,000 years of world history. Amen? Adam to Jesus, you know how many days? How many years? 4,000 years. Adam to Jesus. Jesus to you and me? 2,000. Right? So where are we at right now? We're about to enter the 7,000th year. Do you see it? You see the significance? We're about to enter the 7,000th year, which is the Sabbath, the rest, the day of rest. To God, 1,000 years is as a day. We as a people are at the most exciting point in history to live. Things are about to change on this planet. 4,000 years from Adam to Jesus, 2,000 years from Jesus to now, that's 6,000. We are about to enter into the Sabbath millennium, which is the second advent, the return of Jesus, the 1,000-year reign on planet Earth. Amen. Somebody say, read on. Glory to God. So he's talking about the feasts of the Lord. The first one is Passover. Say Passover, right? In verse 4. These are the appointed feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times on the 14th day of the first month at evening is the Lord's Passover. Somebody say Passover. Passover is significant. If you all know the story of Egypt and God's deliverance, supernatural deliverance of the children of Israel. And that, what did they do? The night before all the death came over and delivered them supernaturally, what did they do? They had to kill the Passover lamb and apply the blood over the doorposts of their homes and stay in your house. And then the next day, what? They were free, man, right? Jesus Christ is the Passover lamb. His blood is what separates you and me from the course of this world. This is significant of the death of Jesus Christ. Passover. That's why Passover is always kind of around the Easter season, right? It's significant. Somebody say significant. This is God's calendar, right? We went from creation to, that's where sin came in and caused all the mess, right? To Jesus coming in and fixing the sin problem. Right there. Done. Forever. Forever. Jesus did it. Somebody say Jesus did it. Amen. The next feast is called the Feast of Unleavened Bread, right after Passover. Unleavened bread has to do with the Jews coming out of the world, right? Coming out of Egypt and so forth. But that term unleavened bread means eating bread without yeast. Yeast is always symbolic in the Bible of sin, right? So the Feast of Unleavened Bread reminds us, okay, Jesus died and paid the price of sin. Now I need to repent. What time is it? Time to repent of my sins. Jesus died for me. Now it's time for me to repent of my sins. Repent. Right? Get the yeast out of my life. Get the sin out and choose Jesus. Prepare my heart to seek God. Amen? Somebody say, read on. Right? The first fruits. Somebody say, first fruits. Right? In verse 9, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have come into the land that I am giving you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf bundle of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. Don't you know, Jesus actually raised again from the dead. He was crucified on Passover, but he rose again 3 days later, which happened to be first fruits. First fruits. He is, the Bible says, the firstborn among many brethren. He's the first one to conquer death. And now, man, there was a two, there was a three, there was a four. Who, what do you mean? Well, whoever receives Jesus Christ is born again. You'll never taste death after this. Amen? So what does this represent? This represents me committing my life to Jesus. Right? Jesus, you rose again for me. I believe what you did. And now, guess what? Now I'm born again. Now I'm born out of death. Right? So what? We saw Jesus died for us. We admitted there's a sin problem. And this, repent from it. We got saved. Hallelujah. Right? Somebody say, read on. Verse 15, the Feast of Weeks. All right? You shall count 7 full weeks from the next day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf bundle and the wave offering. You shall count 50 days. Somebody say 50 days. To the day after the 7th Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. 50 days. This is Pentecost. 50 days after first fruits is Pentecost. When did the Holy Spirit come and baptize? And people started getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1 and 2. What day was that? Pentecost. Do you see what God is showing us? Right? He poured out his spirit on Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead. Amen. Now, if there was a map, I didn't have time to make a map, a beautiful map or a timeline, but we would put an asterisk saying, you are here. Church age. It's called the church age, right? Time to repent, time to get saved, time to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Repent, get saved, get filled with the Holy Ghost. You baptize, you know, all these things. Live for Jesus. That's where we are today. That's where we've been for 2,000 years. Amen. But things are about to change, man. Glory to God. Somebody say, read on, right? Now we'll go to the future. Maybe today's the future. We'll see. Amen. But verse 23, somebody say, Feast of Trumpets. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the 7th month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial day with the blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no regular work. You shall offer a food offering made by the fire of the Lord. This is symbolic of what? Somebody say it. The rapture. The rapture of the church. What's the angel going to do? He's going to blow the trumpets. And we out of here. Somebody say rapture. Rapture ready. This is symbolic of the rapture. Time to go home. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Trumpets. Symbolic of a significant world event. Church event, really. But the world will notice. The rapture of the church. We're departing from this planet. To be with Jesus forever. Meet with him in the clouds. Nobody else will see him except us. They might see you leave. They might see you floating away with their kids. Amen. Glory to God. The rapture. Somebody say the rapture's coming. The church is going to leave this planet, man. Feast of Trumpets. Feast of Trumpets. Glory to God. Somebody say, read on. Right? The Lord spoke to Moses in verse 26, saying, also on the 10th day of this seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. Somebody say, day of atonement. Right? It shall be a holy convocation to you. You shall humble yourselves, offer a food offering made by the Lord. If you look down to verse 32, it shall be to you a Sabbath, a complete rest. You shall afflict your souls on the ninth of the month, starting at evening. This was a time that they made the one annual sacrifice for sins of the before Jesus. What this is symbolic of is it's called the Day of the Lord, a day of reckoning. Sound familiar to anybody? Right? After the 7 years of tribulation, all these nations come together to wipe Israel off the map, and there is a day of one day. Somebody say one day. We come back with him, with the Lord. This time the world sees him coming, and he's not in the air. He's on the ground. Boots, somebody say, boots on the ground. Right? And they're going to attack. They're going to want to fight. Heaven's armies. Somebody say, that's stupid. And Jesus, with one word of his mouth, that's what the scripture, lightning flashing east to the west, that quick, over, over. And what does it say about the eagles and the jackals? The angel calls all the flesh-eating birds. Come have supper. Here it is, right? Day of atonement, day of reckoning, day of the Lord. Day of the Lord. You see the calendar? Do you see it? Amen. And then the final one, Feast of Tabernacles, right? Verse 33. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. Amen. This is symbolic of the children of Israel in tents, tabernacles, while God was with them. It's also symbolic of Moses coming down off Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments. It's symbolic that God wants to be with his people. It's the tabernacle, the church, man. And guess what? You, who are you? You are the temple of the Holy Ghost, right? God, his plan has always been to tabernacle with his people. And that hasn't changed. So not only are we going to heaven, but he's bringing heaven here. Amen? God is going to come down after that battle and so forth. There's going to be a city that comes out of heaven and lands in Jerusalem. Somebody will say, UFO. Who believes in UFOs? Somebody will probably call it a UFO, right? No, it's a holy city coming, and it stretches like from, if it were to start here, it would go down into Mexico a ways, like that wide and that long and that high out of heaven. Tabernacles. God is planning on moving his city, the city of God, right here to planet Earth also. And what's it going to do? New heavens, new earth. Guess what happens then? What did we just talk about? The Sabbath reign, the second advent, the thousand-year reign on this planet begins. Somebody say, begins now. Begins at that point. Glory to God. Do you see the calendar that we're on? Isn't this exciting? And you and I, if you look at the years, and the calendars are a bit off with the Jewish calendar compared to when Jesus departed, you know, our calendar began at the resurrection of Jesus, not after death, after resurrection, I prefer to say, right? And so there's some numbers that are off there, but somebody say, we are real close. We're real close to Jesus' return for us. Glory to God. And we're going to be in heaven with him forever and ever and ever. And somebody say forever. Glory to God. And you can look in your notes there, Revelation 21. You can look at that and read it. It talks about that city coming to planet Earth. And it's beautiful. There's gold, there's jewels, there's gates the size of pearls. It's magnificent. Magnificent. And all that peace that the world is looking for, guess what? now we have a ruler in Jesus on this planet. The false ruler, the Antichrist, the devil are kicked out. Whole new thing now. Amen. Where we're all living for God in glorified bodies. Somebody say, man, that's awesome. That is so awesome. Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray. Amen. Anybody else planning on being there? Amen. Me too. Praise the Lord forevermore. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this word that you've given us, that you've spoken it to us, Lord. We cherish these things in our hearts. We thank you for the revelation of your word, for your Holy Spirit that teaches us and shows us and enlightens us, Lord God. And we give you all the praise and glory for blessing the rest of our day today. We are, just pray this after me. Say, Father God, I thank you for Jesus. I receive him as my Lord. I receive him as my God. I thank you that my sins are forgiven and I'm going to be in heaven someday, very soon. And I'll be in your body, Lord. I'll be in church. I'll be in your word. I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for the Redeemed Life radio broadcast. Check us out on the web at redeemed-church.org. You can hear many free full messages there and get info on service time and location. You can also correspond with us by mail at P.O. Box 1248, Washougal, Washington 98671. Until next week, this is Steve Livengood reminding you to keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon. Give them